first thing that I want to do is that I want to welcome our Virtual International Church. Let's all together. Yes, God today is raising up the church all over the world. The Lord is moving, I would say, in His principles, in His understandings, in His knowledge, in His choices. Sometimes we as people don't even know why God does what He does, but we know that whatever He does always praises His name. Even when there's some certain amount of time we don't might not understand why is this happening, what's going on, but the Lord never lost a single time, never. And I love when Pastor said, when the devil shoots, for some reason he shoots himself in the head. It's a fact. And by looking at the things that are happening this last week, this is exactly how it is. So today's message that I want to share with you, it's called Worshippers After God's Heart. This is a very true word for today, worshippers after God's heart.
I don't know.
There's so much information. How do I put it all together? How do I give it to all of you? It's quite hard. Because constantly, the Lord constantly is moving. He is always in action. He's moving. And even those scriptures that I've read yesterday, day before yesterday, a week ago, for some reason they were in one light and one understanding, but when I read them right now, you understand every page of the Bible has a prophecy, a prophecy. And all those moments that Israel went through, all the situations that God was taking Israel through, for some reason, they're the prophecies of the last days. Or foretellings. It was written such a long time ago, but right now it's symbolizing the move of God in the New Testament. It's very interesting. And the Lord placed upon my heart this message. Sometimes I have these moments where you think, there's so much to say, but at the same time, you don't want to speak just to speak. You always want to say that what the Holy Spirit, where He sees the need and where He's directing His church, His children. And when I was praying, worshiping just now, and also when we had the conference with Bobby Connor, the Lord said to touch down on this message. And as much as I could, I will try to share the things that the Lord has imparted unto me, how He revealed them to me. Scripture that I want to touch down, that would be the book of Gospel of John 4, very famous scripture, we all know it, but I'll tell you, this scripture is very actual for our times. This is where the Lord is raising up and searching for those people that is written. John 4:23-24. A time will come, however, indeed, it is already here, when the true genuine worshippers will worship Father in spirit and in truth reality. For Father is seeking just such people as these are His worshippers. God is a spirit, a spiritual being, and those who worship Him must worship Him in the spirit and the truth and reality. Another translation says that the Lord is searching. Another, it says that the Lord is hungry and thirsty for such worshippers. Why? Why does God need these worshippers? Why is it that the Lord called these categories of people that are called worshippers that will worship in the spirit and the truth? That category, the God's heart is after. Why are they needed for God? Why are they needed in the kingdom of God? Who was, I would say, the biggest and the most sincere worshiper on earth? Your thoughts. What do you think? Adam. You'll understand what I'm saying in a moment. Sometimes we think a worshipper is the one that just worships the Lord. He came, stood in a specific position, placed his hand in the right position, and took up some sort of physical stance, and now he's worshiping. No, worship is your life. It's my life. Worshiping,
the
very being, very center of this word, is this love your God with your heart, with everything that you are. That's the first commandment. And in reality, Adam was that person that had the closest relationship with God, with his friends. And with him, the Lord was missing that person, because every day it is written, as soon as the coolness of the day would come, God would come and speak with Adam. This is the position where the Lord is leading his church into. This is why Jesus came and gave his life, to raise up worshippers, those people that will worship.
Хорошо, давайте вначале.
Okay.
When I was sitting thinking about these things, always
you hear often, honestly, this word worship in the church. Everybody knows this word. We speak about it, worshiping the Lord, worship. I opened the dictionary and thought, okay, let's see exactly what is a worshiper, what is it to worship. The word worship, I took many different translations.
It means
special honor, extreme honor. And the worshiper is a passionate lover of something or someone, in awe of someone,
treats
something or someone with great honor and reverential awe. This is also passion and attachment. This is what worship means. And if we speak about worship, then we have to know that it's not just some sort of ritual or tradition or some sort of moment in the life of a man. When we speak about worship, we speak about the very meaning of life, the goal of life, that which should be number one in our life.
Поклонником ты никогда не можешь быть просто полчаса.
You cannot be just a worshiper for half an hour. We cannot be worshipers
два раза в день или два раза в неделю.
Two times a day or two times a week, or just, you know, 6 months I'll be a worshiper, the other 6 months I'll take a breather. No, our mind has to receive a new understanding of what is the meaning of this word worshiper. If the Holy Spirit is doing this right now, the Lord is searching for the people that will worship in the Spirit and the truth, and if He's doing it, we have to really know what this means. Look, when you read the Bible, from the very beginning, to the last page of the Bible, you see through the whole Bible one thing. God always would react in a special way towards these people. These people would always call out some interesting attention from the Lord. Why is it so important? Why is it the Lord treasures these people? Why is it that God is searching and He is hungry, He's thirsty? For instance, when we want to drink water, we want water, we are thirsty. I know there are moments where you really want to drink, you think about water, you hunger for it, you thirst for it, and this is how God's condition is. This is how He is searching. The same way as you thirst for water, this is how He's searching for those people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. I say, if we take Old Testament, for instance, Enoch, he was a worshiper, he was in such a relationship with God, he was so close to God that practically the life of God that entered him didn't allow him to die. His body was transformed. The Lord said, it is written that Enoch was walking and there was no more. Moses, David, Daniel treasured God's relationship. He loved them so much that when king made up a law that no one should ask for anything from any other gods but the king, he didn't shut his windows. He came home and, like the usual way, he showed his honor and praise and worship towards God, even though it could have cost him death.
Но опять-таки,
again,
если мы читаем ту же самую Библию, мы находим определенную реакцию Бога
в сторону тех людей,
которые уходили из этого положения или просто отвращали людей
of their heart, or would turn people away from worship,
от поклонения,
from worshiping, that would turn away people from God, that
шли на компромисс.
Go люди, commit которые, compromise. People that the honor more human principles, they would honor their position in society than worshiping God. When I started thinking about these things, you know, when you start thinking, kind of comes scary. Why? Because the way the Lord judges, it's quite serious. In the address towards those people that, in the lives of those people that
сами не поклоняются.
Are not worshiping themselves.
И других удерживают поклонение.
And they're keeping others from worshiping.
Я хочу сразу сказать,
I want to say this right away. I have in mind those people that didn't accept Jesus and don't know him.
When Jesus Christ was
conversing with John on the island of Patmos, he told them towards the Laodicean church, if you were cold or hot, we have to understand. An unbeliever who is cold has nothing in common with God. It's easier for him and simpler. I'll say this. Even during the judgment time, it will be easier for him than the person that accepted Jesus Christ into his life, called himself by the name of God, and lived a lukewarm life. There's different translations, they speak differently, but it says that the Lord says that I will spit you out or throw you up out of my mouth. You will never be upon my lips. Your name will never be upon my mouth, upon my lips. It's a serious warning.
Это немножко будет большой урывок, но я просто хотел бы, чтобы вы внимательно послушали. Это обращение к Богу священникам
израильского
народа. Это
Israel,
состояние, когда действительно
in that condition where serious downfall came when the people of Israel departed from God, it was spiritual darkness in Israel, and
книга пророка Малахии.
It's book of Malachi.
Последний пророк.
This was practically the last prophet in the history of Israel. Before Jesus Christ was born. After Malachi prophesied, there weren't any prophecies until Jesus Christ was, when angel came and spoke with Zechariah, and then Mary.
Итак, для вас священники это заповедь. Это Малахия, 2 глава, с 1 по 9 стих.
Malachi 2:1-9. And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already turned them to curses because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your seed, and I will spread the dung from the festival offerings upon your faces, and you shall be taken away with it. And you shall know, recognize, and understand that I have sent this decree to your priest to be my covenant with Levi, the priestly tribe, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was given to him life and peace because of the fear which the priest would revere me and stand in awe of my name. The law of truth was in Levi's mouth and unrighteousness was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and unrighteousness, and uprightness and turned many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should guard and keep pure the knowledge of my law, and the people should seek, inquire, and for and require instructions of his mouth. For he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts, but you have turned aside out of the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instructions in the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi with me, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore I have also made you despised and abused before all the people, insomuch as you have not kept my ways, but have shown favoritism to persons in your administrations of the law of God. So this is what the Lord is saying. All these things that I've promised through the law, fulfillment of the law, the covenant that I've made with Levi, he was a high priest. This is when the Lord was starting a movement in the people of Israel, say he was the first priest, a high priest in the people of Israel. It is written he was walking in fear and uprighteousness. And the Lord says, I'm making this covenant with him for the blessing. And this covenant is so that the people would walk in reverential fear and awe. But he says, just because you have not followed this covenant through, even those people that wanted to have this covenant, they wanted to have this with me, you wouldn't allow them to go through. This is what happens if people call themselves by the name of the Lord and carry some sort of weight, or there's someone in the kingdom of God, supposedly, and they carry some sort of responsibility. They have the right to shut the spiritual doors over people, over countries, over certain territories, over cities. And why is it the Lord seriously here says that all those blessings, when we read the history of Israel, we find moments where the Lord says, If you fulfill and do the things that I have spoken from Moses, I'll do such a thing that no one will be sick or poor around you. It was a promise of the Lord, and the Lord says, if you will do this, I will show my power and glory that I've shown you in the wilderness. They were walking 40 years, and it says that their shoes would not get old. They were not sick. There was nobody who was sick. And by the way, if you read history, people of Israel didn't practice medicine till a certain moment when an ungodly king started worshipping idols and taking soothsayers and doctors from there. And that's when they started practicing medicine. Before that, everything that was happening, a sick person would come into the priest in the temple, and the priest would pray, and the person would receive healing. They lived in the glory of God. They saw signs and wonders. They saw serious things. And right here, generation is rising up that shut the heavens over Israel. It's not just the last moment that are written in the history of Israel. It was before there were ungodly kings, and the Lord was speaking to these ungodly kings. He said, just because you have power and use this power and authority to turn my people away from worshiping me, because you've taught them to worship idols, and you've taught my people to worship idols and do ungodly things, I will ask this from you. I will ask this and bring judgment unto your house, and to your children and your children's children. And we have to understand this is serious. If right now the Lord... For instance, if you look into the life of or the condition of the church, if you see what's happening right now in the church, we can clearly say it's a time of desolation. Seriously, time of desolation where church is in compromise with the spirit of this age. It's in compromise. It goes hand in hand. She lives with it. She lives according to the spirit of this world. Christ said this clearly. If you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. You will never be upon my lips, and you will never call yourself with my name. Just like Tanya read the testimonies, and someone was asking God, how about those people that are over there? What do we do with them? They're just lied to. And I know that the Holy Spirit right now is speaking into the hearts of every person. For instance, let's take this example. Look, we speak with people. You speak one thing to a person, everybody goes to church. You speak with one person, you start speaking about the glory of God, you start speaking that seriously, there's a serious situation right now with the church. And people start thinking. They say, yeah, it's serious, but I'm not ready, or I need to figure certain things out, I understand. And the Holy Spirit will work with these people, but there are also people that say, this is how we were taught, we know where we're going, and it doesn't matter what happens. We're not changing, we're not changing our hearts, we're not changing our ways, we're not changing our motives, we're not changing the way we see things in our relationship with God. We don't want anything else. The way it is, it's great. These people, as they will have serious issues. What's interesting, yesterday, me and my guys, my sons, we were driving in the car, we were speaking what was the situation that happened right now in Russia. And what's interesting, there are interesting moment in the Bible. I never paid attention, never saw this situation the way it happened, but twice the Holy Spirit reminded me two moments from the Bible that confirmed this moment. People, when they lived in compromise with the spirit of this age, when they would depend on it, when they would trust in the spirit of this age, the principles of this age, the standards of this world, then that spirit would turn against them and destroy them. Look, first scripture, when the high priest needed to get rid of Jesus Christ, who did they go to? They came to Herod, they came to Pilate. After 40 years of the death of Jesus, who was destroyed? Herod. Second scripture is a book of Revelation. There was a harlot who was sitting on the beast. Who destroyed the harlot? The beast. So it's quite serious. This revelation is for the last days, and we have to be very careful right now how we're moving. Today I'm speaking not just to us that are in the building, but everyone. A lot of people are watching us all over the world, and I want all of you to ask yourself this question. My relationship with God. How am I worshiping my God? How do I serve my God? God in the Old Testament through a prophet said,
your offerings and your sacrifices are disgusting for me. I can't no longer look at it. Why? Because you bring me the lame, the sick, the crooked things. Your hands are full of blood, and on and on and on. How are we worshiping God today? Again, let's go back into certain part of worship, for instance, like praise and worship, like worshiping the Lord. Let's right now ask ourselves a question. During the time when I'm standing here in the church, when the name of the Lord is worshipped, where are my thoughts? Yeah, where's my mind? Where is it full of? God said, I will never take up any lame or crooked offering. And what's interesting that these offerings, when we worship the Lord, when we praise the name of our Lord, but our heart is not attached to it, when it just comes out of our mouth, just empty words, and that's it, that's blind and crooked. The Lord will not receive that offering. The Bible says that these offerings testify against me if I do this. So, why is it written? Love your Lord, your God, with everything that you are, with your mind, with your understanding, with your everything that you are. So many people ask this question, what should I do so that I should move in the glory of God? What should I do to really hear the voice of the Lord, to be filled with the Lord? Things don't just happen like that with a snap. Bible says your mind, your thoughts, they have to be full of God, filled with God. If you just remember about God once or twice a day just because you need something from Him, that is not worshiping. That is not a close relationship with God. Bible says God is searching for people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Praise has to come out from our heart, from our spirit, and I will touch down upon it a little bit later. Pay attention. I'm speaking to every Christian that is listening today. Pay attention. How you come before the Lord, how you worship Him. Worship your God. We want big things. We want the movement of the kingdom. We want fire and power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, yes, but let's take a look at this picture in a bigger scale. How many times did Jesus Christ cast out? How many times did He clean out the temple? Twice. It was in the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ and also at the end of His earthly ministry. That says something. And it is written when He was cleaning out the temple, the disciples remembered. His disciples remembered what the scriptures say, that the zeal for your house is consuming me like a flame. It's a new translation. This was then in Jerusalem. This was a physical action of that moment when Jesus was going to His earthly ministry. He came up into the temple. He saw lawlessness. There was compromise. There was lawlessness. The spirit of that age was ruling over there. There was money, money exchanges. There were tax collectors. There were animals in there. Everything that shouldn't even be in there. And it is written that He took up a rope and He cast everybody out. And it also says that at the end of His ministry, He did the same thing. I think that the first moment, first incident, which is first cleansing of temple in Jerusalem, it was the first apostolic church. People somehow, they move this way, they're created that way, or I'll say this, I won't say they're created. They were created differently, but through the actions of the sin and the flesh and all human ambitions and sinful nature, a man turns into someone that is always on the side of the majority. Ani talked about it recently. People move off to the crowd, off to the majority. Why is it the people of Israel followed the 10 scouts that scouted the promised land? There was 12 of them, but only 2 said that we will take this land, and the other said no. And it was written that the voice of the 10 was louder, and people went after them. What happens is that when the Holy Spirit came down upon the day of Pentecost, we see a great revival, a great repentance. People started coming to church. People started repenting. There were signs, wonders, and miracles. And together with all of that, the devil tried to bring dirt into the church. So people, right there in the beginning, when church was just being in its beginning stages, remember Ananias and Sapphira, just when they allowed their sinful desires to live and to move and to manifest in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and God put a serious end to that, seriously. It was when afterwards, after they died, it says that fear fell upon everybody. It says that those people that were not doing things from the righteous heart, they couldn't come out before the disciples, they couldn't come into the church because everybody was full of fear. People wanted to stay alive, and before they would come and say, I'm a worshiper of the Lord and I serve the Lord, I love God, I give Him my life, they really have to think about it, where they're going, who they're planning on serving and worshiping, because look, the devil. When he was tempting Jesus Christ, he was using the scripture. So, for instance, today to lie or to tempt some sort of knowledgeable person, if you use regular things, they say it's not even scripture. It's not scripture. So they're not going to react to that. But when the devil uses the scripture still. So it also tells us his goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What he does, he comes and he speaks to people through the scripture. He starts telling them. He convinces people in the things that we see today. That's true. I am amazed. When you start speaking about the glory of God, simply with people, just talking and talking about signs, wonders, and miracles, as soon as conversation comes into signs, wonders, and miracles, right away, this is demonic. Because, for instance, if there aren't any signs, wonders, and miracles in the church, that's not wrong. Somebody needs to see that, because as soon as you talk about signs, wonders, and miracles in the church, right away it's demonic, this is not godly, you guys are confused, you're in some sort of heresy. But when aren't things like that are not happening, then it's godliness. Please, it's written that God says, my sheep know my voice and they follow my voice. And we follow God because we know His voice. There are a lot of scriptures in the Bible that tell us, I will not give you stone if you're asking for bread. You cannot be baptized in some sort of evil spirit if you're asking for baptism of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen. The devil perverts everything. Everything that a human mind cannot accept, right away they say it's some sort of perversion, something demonic. And their books, their teachings, their messages against this. This is what the church is preaching today about. Being powerless, actionless, it's all justified by the church, by its teaching. God says, I am a jealous God. God said, I am a jealous God. Those of you that are married, you know exactly what jealousy is. But if the Lord says, I am a fire-eating flame, be very careful. Okay. One more scripture.
Римлянам 1 глава,
21 и 24 стихи.
Но как они, познав Бога, это опять говорится, я сначала думал, это говорится за неверующих.
At first I thought this was speaking about unbelievers, but then he's asking Holy Spirit to reveal to me what was written here, what does this mean? It's not speaking here about people that are unbelievers.
Грех, сегодня насилие.
There is sin, perversion, homosexuality, and on. Look.
Но как они познали Бога, не прославили Его как Бога.
But because they did not praise Him as they knew them as God, but they didn't praise Him, and they didn't thank Him.
Осуетились в умствовании своих и омрачилось.
But they got busy in their understandings and their thoughts, and their hearts became hard, and by calling themselves wise, they became crazy, and the glory of God, they turned into the image of men and birds and other creatures, so that the Lord gave the desires of their heart into the perversion of their in their own bodies and in their own thoughts. It's speaking here about the people that didn't want to have God in their thoughts.
Возлюби Бога всем сердцем, всей душой, всем разумением твоим.
Love your God with your thoughts, with your mind, with your understanding, with everything that you are. That's the first step. Maybe this word would be...
I'll say not for every person, because quite a few people understand this principle and they move further, farther, and greater things. But there are people right now that are listening to us right now. They need this foundation, this first step. How to worship God. How? Not once did I have this question. For instance, people ask, why is it that when I want to pray, I want to sleep? Today, I want to pray, I shut myself in the room, I turn on music, I turn on worship music, I start worshiping the Lord, and I fall asleep. Because it's so great to fall asleep with this music. I'll say this. Answer is simple. You're not full of God. Your mind is not full of God. For instance, when I was young, I was like 20, 22, I was asking God this question. Why is it that we were always taught, before you go to bed, you have to get on your knees and pray? I did it, but I'm falling asleep. I'm doing it not because... Not from a sincere heart. I'm just like torturing myself because I know that I have to do it, because if I don't do it, the Lord will be upset with me. I don't want God to be upset with me. I'd get on my knees. Why are you laughing? I used to teach the same thing before, sometime long ago. This is how we were taught, and now I taught my guys as well, and that's how we were all taught. We were all captivated by it. We're very... Very happy people. We're very fortunate. We just, once we realize where the Lord took us out from, then we'll clearly comprehend the full picture where we were taken out of. We kind of understand, but we don't understand completely. And I would always ask God this question, why? Why? This is not love. 20 years old, you already understand. You understand things. You understand if there's love, there isn't any torture in it. I said, Lord, how can I possibly pray like this? One time I was listening to some sort of TV program, and the guy that was preaching, I don't remember exactly what he was saying, but he said, when you come before the face of the Lord, and you don't want to worship, you don't want to praise Him, don't do it. Don't do it. I tell you what I do in my life. He says, when I need to pray, or I feel that I have to pray, or I don't feel any connection with the Lord at that moment, I get up and I do not pray. I start remembering all the goodness of God in my life. I start remembering all those moments where He took me through. And He says, when I start thinking about God, something happens in my heart, something is raising up, and inside of me, the glory and praise just comes out towards my God. And really, when I come into prayer in that condition, I connect with God. Why? Because this is where everything is based upon thanksgiving and the goodness of the heart and love, and that works. God looks at these things. We have to fill our mind with God constantly.
Constantly.
When I just came to church, I heard that there are people that sleep with headphones on, with godly music, or by people quoting the scripture, and I was thinking, for what? Why? Everybody's got their, of course, issues, and I had to go through these things. I didn't understand. Dream is for a person to sleep, and but if you're sleeping and there's music playing or scriptures are being quoted, I'm sleeping. Why do I need this? I understood one thing, that it's the truth. It's the truth. It works. If we surround ourselves in the atmosphere of the movement of God, the glory of God, where His voice is heard, where voices are heard that praise Him in the Spirit and the truth, it creates the atmosphere where our spirit is built up. I'm not saying that in that moment where we praise God from our mind is perfect praise. No. But it's the first step to achieve the perfect praise that the Lord is searching for. He's seeking for that. We fill our mind. We immerse ourselves into our understanding of His glory, of His power in us. And when we're in that atmosphere around us, what happens is this atmosphere of heaven comes around us and it penetrates into our heart. Because our heart can only be reached through the Holy Spirit, but He never comes in just like that into our lives. Comes, okay, right now, I'm going to fill you. You're going to worship Jesus Christ. Yes, it's written that he came to glorify Jesus. He came unto this earth to raise up those people that will worship Jesus Christ. But again, he doesn't push himself. He's a gentleman. He needs our heart. He needs our obedience and our desire to praise our God. And when we fill our mind with God, when we completely immerse into the thoughts of God, when we live in the thoughts of God, it creates atmosphere that sets our heart on fire, and then from our heart, praise comes up in spirit and in truth. And that praise is built upon the Holy Spirit. This is what the Lord hungers from us. This is when we commune with our God on the right level. That's when we understand and that we shouldn't hide anything. He sees everything. We become transparent. We want His light. We want His life. We say, Lord, come into my life. If in my heart, my life, there are moments that prevent you and me from coming closer together, prevents our relationship, I give you the right to take it out of my life, destroy it out of my life. I want clean, pure relationship with you. But again, I say first step is, remember, first step is to fill your mind with God. As I read in the book of Romans, just because they didn't think of God, they didn't have thoughts of God. If you're interested on this topic, read the first chapter of the book of Romans.
Человек, когда смотрит вокруг себя, надо быть глупым человеком, чтобы сказать, что это все произошло просто.
You know what? You have to be completely silly person, completely not understanding what's happening. If you look around yourself and say, "Oh, this just happens for no reason." No, there's some sort of power at work. One more moment that I want to touch down upon about worship. It all comes down to our time. I thank God that the Lord gave me an opportunity to be alive in this time. This is a wonderful time. When I was still a young man, I was praying, God, I probably mentioned this before in a message, but it's the truth. I've said, God, I want to be in your movement. I want to see your glory. I want to see signs and wonders and miracles, because when I went to church, I didn't see the things that are written in the scripture. I wanted to see that. I said, Lord, I want. And when I turned 18 years old, they called me into the army. So when I started serving in the army, the Soviet Union falls apart, and that's it. Revivals happen. People come, preachers come, they pray for healings. And I'm thinking, oh man, and I'm in the army, I'm stuck here for 2 years, I'm thinking 2 years everything's going to be over, that's it, because we always knew that it comes and goes, it's over quite quickly, and I was hoping, you know, like, to get out of the army sooner, but little by little everything quieted down, and I quieted down as well. And when we were coming to America, I didn't know why we were coming here. I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. I didn't want to go. I had this condition. I kind of like, I don't want to, and I don't want to come. And I said, Lord, if we have to be there, then let everything be decided. So they give us, I'm thinking, they allow us or not allow us to come. You know, it was interesting what was happening in the consul, with the consul in the embassy. Usually they give you 10, 15 minutes. We sat there for quite a while waiting, and then there are these thoughts. Are they going to allow us or not allow us? Allow or not allow? Because I'm thinking this is taking such a long time. They probably found something, some sort of excuse. But then they come and they told us they allow you to enter the country, and I came here. And before we came into this church, Transformation said, I always ask God questions. Why am I here? Why am I here? Why, Lord? Why isn't there peace? Why am I not at rest? So I'm always restless. Something is lacking. Lord, where are you leading me? And when we came into this church, I was so happy because this is God's will. This is the answer to all those prayers that I prayed many years ago as a young teenager. It doesn't matter that there could be serious things happening in life. It doesn't matter, Lord. I want you. I want your movement. I want your revival. I say we live in a wonderful time. And this last moment that I want to touch down on, it's the fallen tabernacle of David. What's interesting is when you read quickly through the scripture, it looks like you think you understand everything, but when you start paying attention, really, you understand you don't understand anything. You start seeing things, the hidden mysteries, there's secret things in there. And you have to say, Lord, please, just a little bit, reveal to me what you mean through this. There was a time in David's life. It's written that he was after God's heart, a man after God's heart. God said, I found a man that will fulfill all my desires, the desires of my heart.
He was a worshiper. He was a worshiper. That is the answer to that question that I asked. Why does God need worshipers? For God to fulfill his desires and his movement on this earth, he needs people that he will be able to move through. These people have to be obedient to him, that have to that live and breathe him. These are these types of people. And fallen tabernacle of David, he was a man after God's heart. There was a law. There was a law. According to the law, there should have been tabernacle. We know that it was on a risen place, like a mountain or a hill. There was the glory of God. God would come there to Solomon, David's son, when he would pray for blessing. It says that the Lord manifested himself on a mountain. And when there was a moment when the Philistines took the Ark of Covenant with them, again, there was the glory of God, and they weren't able to keep it for a while. And when they, we remember the story, they placed him on the new cart, and they brought it to the territory of Israel. And it is written that David wanted to take it into his house. And it is written that he called all of his leaders, all of Israel, to take the Ark of the Covenant to bring it back. But for some reason, not David, he tried to not to take the Ark of Covenant into the Holy of Holies, into the tent, but he took the covenant, Ark of Covenant, into the Zion where he lived in his fortress. And this is what happens here. It is written when they placed that Ark of Covenant upon the new cart, and the bulls were taking that cart. It is written that the wheel broke off during the way, and one of the Levites stretched out his hands to catch the Ark of the Covenant. And according to the law, you can't do that, you can't touch it. It says that he fell dead. That's the first time when he was cast out from the temple. It says that David feared the Lord. He said, how is it that Ark of Covenant of such power can be in my house? So they found a person, and they bring the Ark of Covenant to that person's house. And what happens is that David finds out that God, because of the Ark of Covenant, blessed that household. Blessings were poured out. The heavens opened up, and the glory of God would come into that house. And David thought, stop. Good idea. Bring it back to me. So they take the Ark of Covenant, and look what happens here. First situation, it taught David that if the Lord says this is how it is, then it's yes and amen. There aren't any ways to change that. And it is written that he called the Levites, everything according to the law. They took the staffs, and they carried the Ark of Covenant in their hands, like it is meant to be. And it is written that he brought sacrifices. He was dancing before the Ark. He praised the Lord, and we know what happened later with Saul's daughter, David's wife. It is written that she spoke or thought badly. It doesn't matter who it is. A man, I mean, it was a man after God's heart. It was her husband. The heart of God is on the side of the worshippers. And he is jealous also when people don't worship him, but he's also jealous for those people that do worship him. And he came into the house to bless his house, and she told him what was on her heart. She said, oh, you embarrassed me. How can a king behave this way before his servants? Dancing half naked, you have to show the righteous way to worship God, and look at look at yourself. Look at the way you were behaving and the way you were dancing. And it is written that she was barren. The Lord did not give her any children to the end of her life. She was barren. This is what is happening right now today with the church. This is that moment where the church is barren. Why? Because they belittle or spoke against the things that praised and magnified the name of the Lord. And it is written when David found out, and they brought the Ark of the Covenant into his house, and it's written that in the house of David in Zion, he built a tent, a tabernacle. It was just a regular tent, and it is written that he brought into this tent the tabernacle of covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. What happened? There weren't any high priest. There weren't any sacrifices. What he had in there were worshippers, Levites, and
psalmist, people that would sing and they would worship the Lord constantly. They would sing about His power, about His love and honor. And it's written that it was like that all the time. And the Lord said, everyone that would go past by this curtain in the tabernacle towards the Ark of Covenant will be dead. But only the high priest shall live, only if the high priest do everything according to the law. If they didn't do something the way that the law says, if there was some sort of ungodliness or uncleanliness, that priest would fall dead. And they would pull him by the rope because they can't even enter. They had a rope tied to his leg. And right here, same God, same law, same Ark of the Covenant. And anybody can come in there. Everyone can come and praise the Lord. If you read David's Psalms, he says, I will enter into your house and praise your holy name. It wasn't David's house. It wasn't tabernacle of Moses. No, it was the tabernacle of David. And it was hard for him. And armies would go against him. He said, I'm going to the house of the Lord. I search for the face of God in His house. He'd go into this tabernacle, and this is where every person that lived on this earth, they could be in the presence of God. And when Solomon built a temple, stable place for God, it's written that he took up the Ark of the Covenant, and he took it into and the new temple that was built by him. That tabernacle lasted almost 40 years in Israel. And God, because that tent lost its meaning, they took it apart. It no longer existed. Later on, they still had. They had again the curtain. They had the way things were ordered in the Old Testament and the laws. But in the middle of it all, Lord kind of took that apart and placed a little foretaste of what's going to happen through David. As it happened in the day of Pentecost, when apostles gathered together, and like James said, when Holy Spirit is touching down upon Gentiles, they said that this is the time where the Lord is restoring the fallen tabernacle of David. The time has come when the Lord will raise up the tabernacle of David. And this is the time where we live right now. Seriously, this is the last days where new second cleansing of the temple is happening. This is the time where the Lord is preparing His church for serious movement. This is that place. This is that place in history where the Lord speaks into the life of every person. Make up your mind. Take a decision. Make a decision. The Lord is loving. And I know one thing. It is written, time for the judgment to start with the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord will be judged. But before God will judge His people, He always gives you a choice. He gives you an opportunity to make a decision in His life. And recently, Pastor said, there is still a remnant of time. Not a lot, but it's still there. If you're moving in God, if you're moving in the Holy Spirit, if you're spiritual, you see what's happening right now. You see the condition of the church right now. You see it where God is moving, where He's heading. Today I'm calling each and every one of us. Let's check our relationship with God. Yes, we are believers. We believe in God. We worship God. Those of you that sit here that that are part of Transformation Center, you see what the Lord is doing, where He's moving. But today, He's bringing an accident onto our relationship with Him. How deeply do we love Him and we worship Him? How much are we captivated by Him? I have a couple of minutes. I want to touch down a small moment. There's one sin. There's one sin that a man sins and doesn't even know that he's sinning. He never feels conviction of his consciousness. There's no discomfort after these things, but this sin always places a man against God. It says that the Lord resists these sort of people, and it's pride. When he steals or does something, he feels it. When he killed, he feels these things. But when a man is prideful, his heart is prideful, he doesn't see it. This was with the devil. It was with other people. We read the Bible. We see it right and left. We see it in our lives. He became prideful. And the person doesn't see it. He says, no, I don't have pride. There is a conviction of any sort. The Lord says that to the humble, He blesses the humble. and not to be puffed up with pride. How do you do that? In praising God. Why is the worship to God so important? First of all, He's worthy. But if He's demanding something, that it is for our own good, for our own blessing. When you realize that you are totally dependent on God, every breath that you take, it's God. You know, pride will never touch that heart. You know, as long as a person praises God for everything that he gave him in life, there's people that depend on themselves. They fall. And then there are those that understand and know that God is the very foundation of my life. He praises God for the very breath that he takes every day. And so he remains humble and lives in humility and walks before God. And so this is a very important principle. So this is basically what I wanted to share this morning. I would love to see a church that is being raised up in the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to understand that God is a jealous God. I know there's many scriptures that talk about mercy. He rises over judgment. But God is warning us today to follow Him all the way. I'd like for us to open up our hearts in this prayer. I'm not sure, I don't know where you're at right now with God. You know the condition of your heart. We know those times when we brought to God the lame and the weak and the sick, and we've looked for God because we wanted something from Him, and we all know the condition of our own heart. But right now I'd like us in this prayer, God, reveal to me the condition of my heart, and I want to be the one after your heart, the one that you're looking for, the one that you're burning for, the one that you're knocking on the door, and I would want to be the one that opens the door for you, for fellowship with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are our God. We worship you, the God of heaven and earth. We worship you. In our eyes, behold your heart. We understand that you're raising up worshipers all over the earth. You're raising up your church. I ask you that you would fill our mind. We want to be filled with your knowledge, Lord. We're looking for you, seeking you, God. Open up to us, Lord. God, we're asking you, give us humility in our heart. In the name of Jesus, raise up your church. Raise up every son and every daughter, so that we would be obedient to you and your ways. Those that will bow their knees before the King of Glory. Those that would raise the standards, would speak your truth and your justice in the earth.
I ask that you would come and bless every person in this place. Open up your kingdom to us. Open up your heart to us. Release your atmosphere. We thank you for everything in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give God glory.
Бог наш сильный. Я знаю одно. Бог поднимет церковь.
I know God will raise up his church. He will raise up his church.
И победа на нашей стороне.
And the victory is in our side.